Hi, I'm Nick Lenos.
I'm Nick Jackson.
And this is Adventures of Buckaroo You're between two Nicks. Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. I was real excited.
Do you want to take a mulligan?
Nah, fuck it. Let's keep going.
All right. Welcome to this rinky-dink bullshit this week.
Oh, speaking 1984. I have to say it off the top. This is went up against The Terminator. This movie...
that we covered last week.
Yes, The Terminator. That's why I'm bringing it up again. Same year, same month.
Double the budget.
Double the budget.
A quarter of the hold-up ability.
Honestly, this movie, if The Terminator wasn't amazing and great, this movie could have better legs in the future. This movie will always be campy and goofy and this weird niche that will always be there. Terminator, we even said it, like, with the advent of HD and 4K, it suffers. And it's not as bad as, like, Independence Day did suffer, but it suffered a little.
Yeah.
You can say that. This will always be the same level at what you viewed it in 1984.
I mean, you're not wrong, but it's only also, gets better. I mean, you could say the same thing about fucking Dark Star.
No, you can't. You can't. You can't say the same thing about a beach ball with feet.
But it looked like a beach ball with feet in 1974, whenever it came out.
That's true. I do see what you're saying, and that's fair. I'm trying to give this movie all the legs up as I can, because I like this movie
a lot. I know you do. Okay, I'm being pretty negative here. I really didn't hate this movie. I had a fun time.
Yeah.
It's just really like, man, some of the stuff about this movie as to like what makes it this movie is stuff that I don't really like.
Yeah.
Like, dude, he's a surgeon. He's a rock star.
Comic book star.
He's a comic book. He's got superpowers.
Yep.
He drives a cool car. He sets a world record.
He drives a cool car.
He goes through a mountain. He's the only man. And they say it multiple times. Yeah, of course Buckaroo Banzai knows. He's gone through matter.
Solid matter.
He's the only man that's gone through solid matter and lived.
So the...
dude, when he goes through that mountain, that looks so bad.
This is...
so bad.
It does.
With all those skeletons.
I don't even care. It looks like Star Trek, bad Star Trek.
It does. I don't care. And I think if I'm going into it with the mindset of it is supposed to look that shitty,
yeah,
I think I could appreciate it more.
So this is one of the few movies that I don't think a lot of people have seen this movie.
I haven't seen it. I'd never seen it.
We need a synopsis, a quick synopsis. We haven't done one in a really long time.
No. Okay. This is one that most people haven't seen. I want to say my first reaction before you read the synopsis.
Yeah, go for it.
I thought it was serious. And I was like, dude, this is cheeks.
You thought the movie titled The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension was a serious film.
No, I thought it was like, oh, it's so bad, like...
taking itself so seriously, and that's why it's bad.
Yeah, like, yeah. I thought it was like a movie that was actually trying to be good, but was bad.
Like Trolls 2?
Yeah.
Or Troll 2?
Yeah, Troll 2, yeah. Or like, yeah, like
Not
any
like
bad
Return
movie.
Return of the Living Dead, which knew it was so bad.
Yes. Yeah. Like a Halloween 3. They were trying to make
a good movie,
and it's bad. That's what I thought Buckaroo Banzai was.
No, I really think they were trying to make exactly what they made.
When you said that, I feel like it makes way more sense. And it actually makes me rethink the movie.
Nice. Hell yeah. That's my whole goal, is to tell you.
To get me to change my mind.
Uh-huh. So the synopsis for this, there's a long one and a short one.
Go for the long one.
You want the long one?
I don't have much to say about this movie, Nick.
All right, here we go. Brain surgeon, rock musician, adventurer, Buckaroo Banzai is a modern Renaissance man, and he's made scientific history. He perfected the oscillation overthruster, which allows him to travel through solid matter by using the eighth dimension. But when his sworn enemy, Dr. Emilio Lizardo... this isn't a real fucking thing for the movie, because he's not really a sworn enemy, Dr. Emilio Lizardo. He has a sworn... I'm going to quit this one. This is a bullshit IMDb. Just some random... Yeah, some random guy wrote this shit. Nope. Wrong. Adventurer, brain surgeon, rock musician, Buckaroo Banzai and his crime-fighting team, the Hong Kong Cavaliers must stop evil alien invaders from the 8th dimension who are planning to conquer Earth. That's also not really true.
Dude,
you know what?
Well, here's the thing,
I'm just going to read the opening scroll from the movie. Oh, my God. This is
you wrote the whole thing down?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Only the first paragraph.
But you may as well read the whole thing, because it's... This movie, I thought it was serious, dude.
Yeah,
you got to
yeah.
think about that. So when I'm seeing this, I'm like, okay, so they're just really trying to make a whole Star Wars universe.
Oh, God. No, not at all.
This is one movie, Nick, that has suffered from us not watching it together.
Yeah, for
because
sure. Because I don't know how you... I mean, I guess you're 40 minutes in until you see Jeff Goldblum dressed up in the cowboy outfit.
I saw that, but and I knew it was ridiculous, but
I didn't
think it was blatantly
these are the characters' names. We haven't done this, but I'll do this before I read the opening scroll. So we got Peter Weller playing Buckaroo Banzai.
That's enough right there.
That's it. Ellen Barkin, Penny Pretty, spelled P-R-I-D-D-Y. Jeff Goldblum is New Jersey. We got
literally no one calls him New Jersey.
No one. Towards the end. Lewis Smith, Perfect Tommy. We have Clancy Brown, Rawhide. I didn't write down. John Lithgow is Lord John Worfen and Dr. Emilio Lizardo. Spoiler. Christopher Lloyd, John Big Booty.
yeah.
Vincent Schiavarelli.
Big Bootay.
Bootay. This is not a serious movie at all. This is.
I don't know why I thought it was, Nick. I really don't.
The opening scroll, though. Buckaroo Banzai, born to an American mother and a Japanese father, thus began life as he was destined to live it, going in several directions at once. A brilliant neurosurgeon, this restless young man grew quickly dissatisfied with a life devoted solely to medicine. He roamed the planet, much like Kane, studying martial arts and... and much partial like physics. Kane.
Dude, that's
collecting around him a most eccentric group of friends, those hard-rocking scientists known as the Hong Kong Cavaliers.
You know what I thought after I read that, Nick? First viewing, I was like, wow, this movie has way too much lore. I didn't even hesitate until just now to think that it could all be a joke. But, reading it saying... Kane or whatever you said. Well,
that's not actually in the scroll. I added that.
Oh,
that was that's the whole story behind the TV show Kung Fu with David Carradine. His name's Kane.
Oh,
he roams the land. Like when the reference you would get is when Samuel L. Jackson says in Pulp Fiction,
yeah,
he's gonna
walk the earth. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like Kane.
Yeah,
that's a Kung Fu reference.
Yeah,
there you go.
Quentin Tarantino talks a lot about David Carradine.
Of course.
In that Joe Rogan interview.
Oh. I you were telling me that.
Talks about why he cast him as Bill.
Yeah.
And dude, that's a cool interview. I don't really listen to Joe like that, Joe Rogan.
To that one.
But that one with Quentin is super interesting if you're a fan of Quentin Tarantino.
I'm a fan of movies, so I'm a fan of Quentin Tarantino.
Exactly. I feel like
even if I don't like some of his recent choices or movies he's done, it doesn't matter. I'm still always going to like Quentin Tarantino because of how much he likes movies.
And even if here's the thing, dude. Even if you're like, man, I didn't like that Quentin Tarantino movie, you're still like, but that's a good movie.
Oh, yeah. They're still excellent movies.
It's just you think about it compared to the other Tarantino movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And where I want to see a director, how I want him... He just doesn't follow my outline of what I wanted his movies to progress as they be.
Yeah, I need a Quentin Tarantino horror film that's just
right.
NC-17
at this
worth of blood. I need that, dude.
He's just not going to do it now.
I know.
This isn't
know
the time. He should have done it, before he started doing...
He should have made that instead of Death Proof.
I like Death Proof. I like what Death Proof was with Planet...
I need to rewatch Death
Proof. You should. They're good. For you got to watch them both. That's what it is.
Well, I remember really liking Planet Terror.
Yeah.
And I knew that. I mean, obviously, I didn't see Grindhouse in the theater like you're supposed to.
Yeah. You fucked up.
I know I did.
I saw it three times.
I know I did. It, dude, the theater that had it at my house, or not at my house, the theater near my house that had it, they only had it for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I saw it Friday and Saturday, and then probably like Monday matinee.
I mean, so that's, yeah, you saw fucking 6 movies.
Yeah.
It was great. And those trailers. Which then did become Machete, movies.
Yeah.
And Hobo with a Shotgun.
I always forget that was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, I've only rewatched them after theaters once.
Yeah.
Only Planet Terror once was... No, I've never rewatched Planet Terror. Death Proof I've rewatched more than once, though.
Yeah, and... like, honestly, I feel like I would like Death Proof more now than I did.
In the double feature, it is... the weaker of the two. And also, well, out of order. They should have put Death Proof first. I feel like Death Proof came second when I saw it.
It did.
That's Death Proof the did wrong come order. Second. That is the wrong order. Death Proof needed to be first, and then you needed to end on Planet Terror. At least in my mind. For my...
Yeah. What
I want. That's... You shouldn't have ended on Death Proof.
No. It's... I mean,
because... I kind of see why they did with the ending, with them just kicking him...
I mean, it's also kind of supposed to feel like a Grindhouse thing where it's like, oh, these two movies that are just randomly put together.
Yeah, they don't work.
That don't work together.
Yeah. I get that.
But, dude, if I'm thinking about this as, like, say, an exploitation film,
mm-hmm.
this is a lot more fun of a movie to me.
Right.
Because I really, like, for real thought it was, like, dead serious.
I didn't think I needed to put that disclaimer on it when I told you to watch it. And like how I giggled every time when I told you to watch this.
Oh, man.
And I'm pretty sure when you asked me what to think of, what to expect about this movie, I made some absurd reference that you had to have gotten. Maybe. It's probably like Imagine Dark Star with a sunshine budget.
Yeah. Mm. Dude.
Either way. This movie is directed by W.D. Richter.
Richter.
Don't really know him from that much. He didn't direct a lot. He wrote a bunch of stuff, did a bunch of adaptations and screenplays. My favorite one, he's a writing credit on Big Trouble in Little China.
Ooh! I mean, that makes sense.
He also did Invasion of the Body Snatchers, did the screenplay for that, for the
I mean,
70s, 80s one.
Interesting.
Yeah. Did Broodbreaker, which is a Robert Redford movie you've never seen. Needful Things.
Stephen King's story?
Yep. And Home for the Holidays, one of my favorite bad holiday movies.
Nice. You know, it's funny you say Big Trouble in Little China, because with this movie, I really, if you think about what the movie is, I really got a lot of They Live vibes.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the zapping and the seeing the aliens for what they are.
Yep.
The glasses.
Yep.
Which the glasses in this movie that they put on are just bubble wrap. They're bubble wrap with eye holes cut out and then goggles underneath them.
Yep. That's what they are. So
great. You know, $17 million budget. This movie was shot like how the U.S. Navy files like bills, where it's like a hammer for $5,000.
Dude, there's no way this wasn't...
Toilet paper, $22,000.
There's no way that this movie wasn't used for money laundering.
It's some sort. Or all of their cocaine habits.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It had to be in some sort of drug trade.
Yeah, at least $6 million was
coke. Well, $5 million was advertising.
Why? Why would you even...
Which was almost the entire budget of Terminator. Yeah. How?
This movie grossed worldwide what the cost to make Terminator was.
You know what this movie actually kind of is, Nick? This is a 1984 version of Galaxy Quest.
Wow. I don't hate that. I don't hate that. I think Galaxy Quest did better than that. But
oh yeah, Galaxy Quest did way more money than this.
Also has a weird cult following though.
Does
they keep talking about doing it?
If you're a fan of Galaxy Quest, you should watch this movie for sure.
I'm a huge fan of Galaxy Quest.
Yes, you are.
I love Galaxy Quest. I watch it once a year at least, and I like that.
I can't believe you haven't made that
I don't know why I didn't connection. Think of it. Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
You want to continue on? That's just a weird thought I had.
I like it.
What I'm saying is, I guess the reason I say that is, this movie reminds me of like multiple different movies combined. Like, yeah. They Live, there's elements of that. There's elements of Galaxy Quest. And I didn't really think about Galaxy Quest until I realized it was supposed to be a comedy. Joke. Yeah. But then also it kind of reminds me of Invasion of the Body Snatchers too.
Yeah.
Like, it's all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It also, the aliens in this, and this is going to be a really obscure reference, but do you remember those books that they're Animorphs. Like for kid? No. Animorphs was great. But those kids' books that were like, my teacher's an alien.
Oh, and Bruce Coville.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the shit. Aliens look
yeah,
like.
Yeah, on the cover, yeah.
That's what the aliens look like, is the yeah. aliens where it's like the dude pulling
although
off
the
mask.
Although they had more
the
of the colors of They Live on those. Like, it was a brighter green. And yeah. Sometimes they had the purple in the cheeks, too.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Bruce Coville.
Yeah, dude, that's what it reminded me of. Like, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really get why... It makes so much more sense now that this is a joke, because it fits better with Mars Attacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I'm dumb.
This list was pretty well curated, I thought. The connectors were layered. The order was a little botched.
I'm so sorry. Dude, I feel bad. Okay.
It's okay.
I'm just going to readjust my initial rating. And I'll tell you what my initial rating was when we get there.
I can't wait.
Okay. Who else is in this movie? There's a ton of fucking character actors in this.
Peter Weller, John Lithgow, Ellen Barkin, Jeff Goldblum, Chris Lloyd, Lewis Smith, Ronald Lacey, who Ronald Lacey plays the president in this, President Widmark, who you might know him as the head Nazi with the burned hand in Indiana Jones Lost Ark.
The Raiders of the Lost
Raiders
Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Love that shit.
Head Nazi is the president.
Yeah, right.
Wink, mm-hmm. wink.
Clancy Brown, who is the real big Ron Perlman looking motherfucker, but not real Perlman.
And real OGs know that he's the voice of Mr. Krabs.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
He's also the, what was his name? The Kurgan from The Highlander.
Yeah. He's also in Pet Sematary too.
Yep. And then we got Vincent
Schiavelli.
Schiavelli. I know him as, I'm pretty sure he's the original alien in the original Escape from Witch Mountain, which was
I think so.
Big, big movie for me as a kid.
Most other people would know him in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. He's one of Ferris Bueller's teachers, right?
Oh, you're confusing him with Ben Stein.
No, I'm not.
Ben Stein?
Schiavelli is in Ferris Bueller.
Is he?
Yes. He plays one of the teachers. It might be Breakfast Club. It's Breakfast Club.
I can't believe I'm having an issue remembering.
I think
this.
It's either Breakfast Club or Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
But he's in it and he's a teacher.
Well, guys, this is a perfect time to say if you
we
know,
can take a break. Actually, that'll be perfect.
I think you're thinking of Fast Time at Ridgemont High.
I am. Is that what he is in?
I'm pretty sure he's in that.
He is in that. Yeah, that's what it is. God damn it. It's one of those fucking movies. I mean, tell me the big differences between Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Tits.
Breakfast Club.
Tits.
And what was the other one I said? Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Well, yeah, Fast Times, there's titties. But what's the other... Phoebe Cates' titties, too. Oh, my.
I mean, there's big differences in all those movies. They're all about different things, different...
I wish you would have just said, "You dick!"
Here's Mr. Vargas in
Fast Times.
Fast Times.
Yeah, Vargas. That's who he is.
Yeah. I knew you were wrong.
I knew he was a teacher.
I'm the better Nick.
You're a fucking... You didn't know either. You had to look it up.
I did have to look that up. I'm embarrassed.
Okay.
Also, though, to finish that list, Jonathan Banks... Who is from Breaking Bad?
Mike Ehrmantraut.
Mark
Mike
Ehrmantraut. That's correct. John Ashton, who we, if you remember from our Midnight Run episode, is Marvin from Midnight Run. He plays a highway patrolman in this little bit role, which is really fun. And my favorite one, I'm going to call this a cameo, Yakov Smirnoff.
Oh, my.
Plays the American National Security Advisor, which I love that. Because they're talking about the whole time about, like, spies and, like...
Yes.
He's very obvious. Yakov Smirnoff is a Russian. Like,
yeah.
And I think it's just like a play, like the Americans are stupid and don't recognize that the spy is right there as the NSA. yeah, that's it.
So I think it's time for the segment. No, that's not the segment anymore. We have to give a break the new theme song played by me that I haven't played yet, but I'm going to.
You're
going to
do it.
All right. So, the connection this week for Tales from the Crypt, John Lithgow. John Lithgow is in season 6, episode 12. It's 13. Episode 13, the episode is called You Murderer. And it is of note because, well, like I said, John Lithgow's in it. Also, Humphrey Bogart and Alfred Hitchcock were digitally put into this episode. They used old stock footage of them and digitally inserted them into this episode to look like they are in the episode as normal actors. First time it's ever been used.
So they did it before Coachella.
Yes. Yes, before Coachella. And before...
Star Wars.
Yes, before Star Wars with, what's his name, Peter Cushing. And Alec Guinness.
And Alec Guinness.
R.I.P. But yeah, that's your Tales from the Crypt Connect.
Are we going to go straight to our other segment? What'd you watch?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I watched a movie called... Actually, I watched Fear Street Part 2.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about. I mean, you talked about Fear Street. We've talked about them. The second one's cool.
Yeah,
I think
we both talked about
I haven't seen the third one yet, but... So far, the second one's pretty awesome. I love the references to old slashers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool references. Also, I watched another movie called Welcome Home. And that's a horror movie on Netflix. And it has Aaron Paul, another Breaking Bad alum, Jesse Pinkman. It's basically like these people go to live in... Or not live. They go to a... Airbnb in Italy to try and rekindle their relationship, and there's a guy that starts stalking them and he has cameras everywhere.
I did know if we watched this, but
I mean, it sounds like The Rental.
Yeah,
it's very similar, but this movie came out in 2018, so it was before The Rental.
Okay.
This movie's better.
Buckaroo Banzai?
No. Buckaroo Banzai might be better than The Rental. actually, you know what? I'll say it. It is better than The Rental. And I think The Rental, I originally thought it was like maybe a 7 or 8 out of 10.
You gave it high.
I think I would give it about a 5 now.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's pretty solid, mediocre.
Yeah.
Welcome Home's good.
Okay.
Welcome Home's definitely
watch it.
Yeah, it's way better.
Okay.
Than, to The Rental, and the ending is pretty fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, check that one out. What did you watch, bro?
Dude, I don't remember. There was one. I mean, Fear Street, but I'll save it. 3. We finished it. I do remember. Gun. Powder Milkshake.
Yeah. Mm. I saw your rating.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what it was.
Check me out. It's there.
What's your...
The Better Nick. You know Nick.
Mine's Empty Words.
Yeah.
on Letterboxd. Follow us.
It wasn't... I got pretty excited for that. I like...
You were excited for it. I remember.
That cast is a pretty great cast. And I enjoyed it. I had a fun time. It just didn't have anything else.
Is it a Western?
No, no. It's kind of like a John Wick in a Kill Bill world. Does that make sense?
Yeah, is it supposed to be ridiculous?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a comedy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's hilarious. Okay. Yeah. But it's in it, but it's that, like, Kill Bill, John Wick vibe type thing, and it's...
Is it gory?
Yeah. Yeah, you'd like it for that. It just... I mean, it sucks to say, like... I don't know what it was. It wasn't like it was missing story or something. Maybe it was. There's a lot of Area 4 lore that could have been thrown in, and I just didn't... That wasn't satisfied, and then... You know, I don't know. There's just...
I feel like that happens sometimes with Netflix movies, where you're like, I mean, that's kind of cool, but, like, I feel like there's something missing.
Yeah. It just wasn't the total package I wanted. Yeah, I'll have to watch it again. I will watch it again. I know I will, to really figure out what I... what's missing from it, but it is... It's just... It's not... Something feels not complete to me in it.
You know...
And maybe
I wonder what I would think of it, because I haven't really been hyped for it.
Yeah. I mean, I did get hyped for it, but...
yeah, you did.
Yeah. For like a week.
You were for that week, you were like, dude, Gunpowder Milkshake. Gunpowder Milkshake, dude, Gunpowder Milkshake.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like fair. Me with Halloween Kills.
Well,
already. And it's already, fucking July.
It's been over a year... It's been 2 years.
I'm like, hey, dude.
Do you want to watch this trailer again? It's awesome.
Look, you can see the masks Jesus from Halloween 3. Jesus
Christ.
Oh, man.
No.
No. Just a straight up no. What, you got any trivia?
Oh, do I? Jamie Lee Curtis was in this movie.
What?
Yeah, her scenes got cut.
Oh.
There's a longer version of this movie where it goes into a whole subplot about Buckaroo Banzai's true mortal enemy. And that would be the evil... God damn it, I didn't write down the name. But this other, like... His real enemy, his true enemy is this guy. And he is the head of this organization that the movie hints at the end. Like, Buckaroo Banzai will return and Buckaroo Banzai battles the evil organization. That was the real sequel that was planned for this movie. This movie flopped so hard that it was just
lost. Dude, the end of this movie has a sequel thing in it. Yeah. Like a, tune in next time.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that was the actual next movie that was supposed to be planned.
Oh, my.
And the character that was leads the evil organization, because that's... It
was supposed to be Jamie Lee Curtis, yeah.
Well, no, Jamie Lee Curtis was actually Buckaroo Banzai's mother in a flashback scene, and we see that the leader of this organization killed his mother and father, and then also killed his wife.
And it would have been Jamie Lee Curtis. Wow. That's a weird other John Carpenter...
I know.
Reference.
We got there twice.
Peter
Weller could not... Wait, Peter Weller?
You know what's funny about that, dude, is Peter Weller's in a movie that's connected to Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. Not just by Dan O'Herlihy.
Uh-huh.
Also because Dan O'Herlihy plays the same character.
Oh, God damn it. Peter Weller could not keep his face straight when on screen with Lithgow because he called Lithgow's accent an Italian Martian. He just thought it was hilarious.
I mean, he's not wrong.
It is great.
It's pretty funny.
You know who else was up for the role or offered the role for Buckaroo Banzai? Tom Hanks and Michael Keaton.
Wow. I mean, I could have seen Michael Keaton. Can't see Tom Hanks. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I
mean,
only because I love Tom Hanks, and I will watch him do anything. But an 80s Tom Hanks, you know.
Maybe. Yeah. I feel like I'm glad he didn't, because his career would have went on a way different path.
I mean, he made weird shit like this.
Not really. Like what?
The computer wore one red shoe.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
Joe
you're
versus
right.
The volcano.
Okay, I didn't know that was Tom Hanks.
Burbs. He made some absurd shit.
Money Pit.
Money Pit.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I know I'm right. I'm Do you know who was up for the role of Perfect Tommy?
No.
Michael Madison.
Oh, dude, that would have been great. It's
so opposite, like, who they got. Perfect Tommy is the one of the Hong Kong Cavaliers, the one that's, like, just always talking to Buckaroo. Like, with the blonde...
Hey, Buckaroo!
The blonde hair, like, how their buck... Oh, yo, me won their buck. And, you know, Buckaroo always says little things at his expense that are really fun.
I really feel like I need to rewatch this movie now.
You really do. You should probably
just watch because it. Because I was just sitting there, like... And I was like, John Lithgow's really doing way too much.
Oh, my
like,
God. He is overacting. I don't understand how you thought this was even close. Okay. Here are a list of names of people in this movie. Another list. These are... So they speculate... Or in this movie, when Orson Welles creates his... spoilers now. Makes his announcement about, you know, the invasion of Martians from Mars.
So we did not touch on what this movie's even about.
We didn't really at all. But at this point, you're in it and, you know, this is happening. Aliens invaded for real in New Jersey in 19...
When the War of the Worlds played on the radio. Yeah.
And then they hypnotized them at the end of it to make him say that it was all, a joke, a scam. All the aliens that invaded decided to populate the small town, and they all gave each other names. All their names are John.
And they all look like Jamaican men.
Well, now, yes. Well, no, they don't.
They all have Jamaican accents.
They don't, though.
I mean...
Only the peaceful ones that are in space,
you're
though,
right.
have Jamaican accents. And I think that's a play on... Because they say... we overthrew... I'm not going to do the accent. We overthrew this evil man, Lord John Worm... Oh, shit. Lord George whatever. John Lithgow's character. We overthrew him, and we banished him to the eighth dimension with his 500 followers. But we are the peaceful group, man. And I think it's like this whole thing, like hippie, one love. Like,
yeah.
You know... Rastafarian,
no,
like...
I get it. It's just fucking weird.
It is. Because also, all their names are John, but then also all these banished ones are John. So, just all this race of aliens all are Johns.
It's like John...
I have a list of them.
Big Boutte?
Would you like to hear
Yes.
Them? John Parrot, John Yaya, John Nephew, John Fish, John Two Horns, John Guardian, John Fledgling, John Kimchi, John Smallberries... That's my favorite. John Smallberries.
I like John Big Boutte.
John Big Boutte is good. These were all ones, like, on the list. You see the names of everyone in the town. John Starbird. John Little John. John Many Jars. Those are characters' names that you see on screen, and you thought this was a serious film.
I really feel like I should have known when every time someone says, hey... Big booty, and he goes, it's booty!
You know what scene really should have been the dead giveaway? When Jeff Goldblum and Reno, I can't remember what actor is Reno's name, but when they're walking through the basement and they're like, he's not giving them a tour, I think they're trying to find somebody, and they're just walking, and the camera cuts to them because we're with somebody else, and then it cuts to them, they're just walking through this room, and Jeff Goldblum looks over, and there's a watermelon. Just stuck in between two walls. Just a watermelon. And he's just like, why is there a watermelon there? And Reno looks at it, thinks about it, and he's like, I'll tell you later.
I didn't pick up on that, dude.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how I missed that.
I was literally eating watermelon. Wow.
You were like,
some other lines that were a dead giveaway that this was a comedy and not a real movie.
Dude.
What's going on here? As well as I can tell, you're an identical you had an identical sister you didn't know about. I married her. She's gone now. It's over. Let's go.
Yeah, that was... Dude, also, I was starting to take notes and I was
Rawhide's death?
Yeah, Nick, okay, I don't know. Like, I was gonna take notes, and I was like, wow, there's some real clunkers of lines in this
Their
movie.
Their jet car is an F-150 dually, or F-350 dually. Like, still has the Ford emblem on the center of it. And also, when he's taking it to meet the aliens for the first time at their factory, he uses his fucking blinker, Nick.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know.
John Lithgow, when he's talking to all the other aliens when they're getting ready to start their invasion back home or whatever. Where are we going? Planet X! When are we going? Soon!
Yeah, I...
Buckaroo, the president's on the phone. He needs to know. What should he do? Should he just wait or should he destroy Russia?
I remember this.
Yes on one, no on two. Which one was one? Was one destroy Russia?
Yeah.
These are all lines in a movie that you thought was a serious movie.
I have an issue. I don't know how I was getting mad.
You
dude.
Need the laugh track on your sitcoms, don't you? You don't like sitcoms that don't have laugh tracks.
I mean, no, that's not true.
I'm just teasing.
I do like a laugh track.
Just kidding. I do too.
I really, for some reason, I confused this with Flash Gordon.
I mean, they're kind of,
but. In the sense that I also like.
Are you also confusing Flesh Gordon with Flash Gordon?
No, Flesh Gordon, I feel like is an adult film.
Yeah. I confuse them in my head sometimes.
Which one do you remember better?
I don't know.
What was I gonna say? Oh. I confuse this with Flash Gordon in that George Lucas said he was, like, inspired by it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
And so I was like, this movie? And that's why I thought it was serious.
Oh, I get it now. I get it now.
Yeah, and I'm like...
You need to rewatch this movie.
I'm like, is this like a Plan 9 from Outer Space type of scenario? Like, where it's, like, just horribly made.
Directed by Ed Wood. Tie into Tim Burton made a movie documentary about him with starring Johnny Depp as Ed Wood.
I almost watched it the other day.
You should.
It's 2.5 hours.
You're not going to ever watch that.
I might one day.
You're not.
I gotta have some time set aside.
You're never going to watch it. Excuse me.
I'll watch it one of these days.
No. I don't know where we're at. I like this movie.
We could do a short episode.
Where are we at?
We haven't even, it's like maybe 40 minutes.
Yeah. I keep going. I wish we could have got a sequel to this movie. I honestly think this movie coming out in 1984, the exact same month, the exact same week as The Terminator. It doesn't even matter if it was in the same month. The way people saw movies back then, the way movies were released back then, it was a complete...
Disaster. It's as bad, it's as detrimental as Mars Attacks being released in December to this movie. Because you have...
I think this is much worse. I really do think this, this killed it. Like,
well, I mean, it killed Mars Attacks too.
Yeah. But it would have been the opposite. I don't think it would have killed Mars Attacks if they kept it.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's like reversal.
I got you.
But and the reason being, in my opinion, is because you go into a movie like The Terminator, because obviously you're going to see that first.
Yeah.
Because that's what everyone's talking about.
It's 1984. If you looked at those two previews.
You're watching The Terminator first. And you see that special effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't tell me you would watch Buckaroo Banzai first.
Okay, here's the thing. If we're talking me this age right now in 1984, probably not.
No.
But me as a 11-year-old, I'm going to say the age when I saw both of these movies.
10.
If I saw the ad campaign for Buckaroo Banzai.
No, dude, there's no way you wouldn't see the ad campaign for Terminator.
Terminator didn't have that kind of ad campaign. Orion didn't push that movie, didn't advertise that movie at all.
Okay, but say they did.
But that's changing everything then. If you're changing that, then we could change some other things too.
I mean, making this a good movie?
And the,
I'm just kidding.
The way these were put out in the same month, the same week, the same grouping. Terminator had no press, had nothing. Arnold has gone on record saying how much they fucked with the not releasing it, not advertising it correctly.
Yeah.
This movie had the opposite. They spent $5 million on just advertising it.
Yeah, that's true.
It would have been everywhere. It would have been comic books. It would have been on commercials.
Well, then why didn't anyone go see it?
Because the Terminator.
Yeah.
It terminated it.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Is it? Although it had great ad campaigns, everyone chose to go see Terminator first.
As a kid, though, I still think I might have picked Buckaroo Banzai.
Maybe, yeah. Yes.
But also back then, no kids were being able to pick the movie that they went to go see. You know, it's not like nowadays because movies that's were. True.
Well,
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. So I wasn't alive then.
The point that I was trying to make is you see Terminator and the special effects, mm-hmm. the practical effects.
Yeah.
And then you go see Buckaroo Banzai or you see the trailer for Buckaroo Banzai on TV and you're like, nah, man, that looks bad. What? What is this?
And also kind of proves it right there that Terminator is sci-fi horror or horror sci-fi. Because Buckaroo Banzai is sci-fi.
It's action, yeah, adventure action sci-fi.
Adventure sci-fi, yeah. Yeah, I guess so, adventure sci-fi.
I would say action, adventure, comedy, sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Learned action sci-fi, because they're all really smart.
Yeah. Sure. they're not smart enough to know that people are aliens.
I mean,
and that there's a massive fucking spaceship sitting right next to their satellite.
I mean,
like literally on top of the satellite.
Yeah. It goes right by it. Right by it.
What's the point of a satellite? If you can't see it. Well,
if you would have paid attention in the movie, they explained to you that they couldn't get any readings from their satellites due to sunburst activity.
Nick, I was sitting in there so angry, ready to come in here and just be like, dude, this movie. You remember when I got here? You're like, what'd you think of it? And I'm like,
yeah. If you cannot watch it and understand that it's campy, I am sorry you didn't realize that. I thought I
didn't need to explain it by the cast. No, you do not need... No, Nick. Don't get me wrong. You do not need to be sorry or have had to explain it. Yeah. This is all on me being a fucking dumbass. Like, seeing the telltale signs and just being like, okay, that's a weird decision by that director. That's okay. Well, wow, John Lithgow's really doing a lot in this role. Okay, wow, okay.
It'd be funny if the director was actually shooting a serious movie, but nobody else knew that it was making. Like, they all, like, just dared Jeff Goldblum to wear a cowboy. Like, he looks like Woody.
He does look like Woody.
He's got two matching saddlebags. Like, this motherfucker.
When he shows up like that, I'm like, oh, I was like,
oh, you're making fun of me now.
Dude, I saw that and didn't realize it was a parody.
He's wearing, it's not,
that's how
Woody,
dumb I am.
It's Roy, or what's the fucking singing cowboy's name?
Fucking Marty Robbins type looking ass, dude.
Marty Robbins.
R.I.P. Yeah. If he's not, I don't know if he's actually dead or not. There's no way he's alive.
Maybe, probably, has to be.
But, okay.
What's your favorite? I keep yawning. I'm sorry.
That's okay, man. Let's,
back
I mean,
to
let's,
back.
Let's go to our fucking, ratings.
Yeah.
We could wrap-a-roo.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel like people are going to listen to this. They're not, I mean, they're going to listen to
it.
But
yeah.
I feel like people are going to see the title and be like, I don't know about all that.
I'll pick a good picture. Honestly, it's going to be Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, God.
100%. It's going to be Jeff Goldblum again. Because he just is so...
I mean, he's sexual in this movie.
Feeling that bloom.
So, I'll go first this time because I had to completely rethink my rating. I was ready to come in here and give it a fat 3.5.
Wow.
I was not happy.
Okay. All right.
After further review and rethought, I'm going to say I will go 7.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm telling you, dude, that really fucked with my, like, perception of the movie. Like, dude, imagine seeing Jeff Gold. I'm sitting there like, why is he still in this cowboy suit? What the fuck is this? Like,
oh my God. God.
And then when he's sitting there doing all of his throwaway lines, and he's like, yeah, they call me New Jersey. And everyone's like, no, they don't. Like, I was like, oh, haha, that's like one funny part.
That's insane.
I feel like an idiot. I feel like we should not even have done this podcast. Honestly.
No, I wish we could have watched this one together. I do.
I mean, yeah, I
fucked up. Scheduling conflicts, though. We had to do it separately. Peek
behind the curtain. So, yeah, I would say it's a 7. I would say 7, I think, is me being slightly generous.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, I did not think. I honestly.
Because it could be a 6.5, honestly. But yeah. I think 7, because if you think about it in a way that it was kind of done as a parody, like kind of on purpose. It's pretty clever as far as that goes.
I agree. I actually am the same. Well, would you recommend it?
If you like sci-fi stuff, I wouldn't recommend it to someone who's like not except like who doesn't have a good sense of humor.
I agree with that.
There's
a lot of smart humor.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of lowbrow. There is some lowbrow stuff, but
there is
mostly
like I said at the beginning, humor. If you like Galaxy Quest,
yeah.
If you've never seen Galaxy Quest, I mean, definitely that. I think you should see that. I think Galaxy Quest is kind of better than this.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That's why I'm being generous in saying 7 for this. I think Galaxy Quest is probably higher. That's. I'll stick with 7. I'll be generous to this movie. Stick with 7. But yeah. I would say hesitantly. I don't know if I could fully.
Yeah.
Recommend it.
I don't recommend this movie to everyone.
No. I think there are some people that should see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that to the everyday person, like even me being into bad movies, just that little perception of like, mm-hmm. I thought it was serious made me hate it.
It's actually a fun movie. I would recommend this to everyone because if you like it, then we're friends and I'm glad you had a fun time. And if you don't like it, fuck you. And because this movie has such strong lines. I've met so many people. Okay, I've met so many people, but I've met people that love this movie as much as I love it. And then I've met people that absolutely hate this movie. There's no middle ground. There's no, oh yeah, it's like, you know what I mean? Like even you
borderline. I switched, man.
Yeah, you did.
I flip-flopped because yeah. I really like.
And you went from, I mean, 3 to 7 is a.
It's probably, that's the first time that this has happened.
That's the biggest swing we've seen on the show.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll fully admit, I actually like the movie more now knowing that it's supposed to be ridiculous. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
His name is Rawhide.
Dude, his name's Big Bootay.
I know. Big
Bootay. All right, man. What would you rate it?
Same as you. I would go higher, but I think I just gave Terminator a 7.5, or did I say 8.5?
You said 8.5.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm still going to say. I'll say 7.5. Yeah. I'll keep it 7. 7s. Both of us 7. It's. I really like this movie. I do. It's a lot of fun. It's campy. It hits a lot of notes that I like. I have. After reading some of the trivia on it and some of the stuff that I don't know because I'm not a neurosurgeon, but like all the things Jeff Goldblum says in his opening scene when they're in doing neurosurgery on an Eskimo. So he can communicate to his arm again.
We're supposed to say Inuit.
But he calls him, he says it's an Eskimo in the movie.
Okay. Just throwing that out there.
I'm just quoting the movie. In case
someone gets mad.
I'm quoting the movie from 1984.
I'm just saying, we know. We're quoting the movie.
Inuit.
Inuit, yes. Yeah. I don't even think Inuit's right anymore.
I don't.
There's a word now because I said Eskimo one time.
Inuit, Inuit, Inuit.
Yeah.
In the jungle.
All I know is I've gotten in trouble for saying that. So
I mean, fuck.
We're quoting the movie.
Yep.
Fuck you.
Yep.
Shit. Don't send that fucking email. I don't care.
Yep.
If you do want to send it, betweentwonicks@gmail.com.
I don't check them anymore.
No one who listens to this is going to know Eskimo's a bad word now.
Right. So what do you call... Never mind.
I think it's Inuit, but I don't think that's right.
But either. All of it, but all those were real terms he was using, and like saying things that a real neurosurgeon could say at like, you know.
Also didn't realize he was doing that to an Eskimo.
I mean, yeah, you should. It was in the opening dialogue, and
that
was Rawhide discussing what Buckaroo was doing in the surgery to the general, why he wasn't there. Or to
somebody. I really need to rewatch this movie.
I'm going to say 7. Fuck it. Watch this movie. It's free on Pluto. You can throw it on. It's nothing.
I think if you like exploitation films.
Yeah.
Like any of that old, like, really fun, dumb stuff. Like, you know what this movie reminds me of, kind of, same vibe? Mm-hmm. As, like, I mean, obviously not the same genre, but, mm-hmm. like, this reminds me of a sci-fi version of, like, a Frank Henenlotter movie. Like, Basket Case or something.
Yeah. This, to me, I don't know what this is. I feel like this is a competing studio to Terminator, and they passed on it, and they wanted to, like...
They
put something
up.
Sci-fi out just to compete, or
this is not that movie.
I don't know, man. Yeah, this it does not compete on any level. It's a, and they're two completely different genres to me, and that's what I still like them both.
The action adventure versus the horror,
mm-hmm.
it makes them so different.
And this is a good little segue into our next one. We told you on the last episode, but we're doing Alien, OG Alien next week.
Yeah, we gave it away,
really hard.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
But if you've never seen Alien, I'm really excited.
I've never seen the first
this.
One.
This is...
Yeah.
This is one of my... It's up there. It's way up there on my list.
How long has it been since you've seen it?
Top 10, 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Two years, yeah. Because I missed it fucking 3 years.
Speaking of awesome movies.
Missed it 2 years
movies.
Ago at the anniversary.
40th anniversary Evil Dead this year. They're
Ooh.
Doing a Fathom event.
Oh, we're there.
For one night.
All four?
The day before my birthday. No, it's Evil Dead 1.
Just one?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in.
But
yeah,
you're still in.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
In costume.
Day before my birthday?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Alien.
Alien next week. I'm
what
really
is,
excited about that.
What do you want to do the hint for the week after, or do you want me to do a hint, or do you want to do a combo hint?
You could do it. You know what it is, right?
I believe so. Yes, I do.
I think that's the order we're keeping. That definitely should be the first one, I think.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage.
You know the did we say what the theme is?
I don't believe we did. This month is gonna rock, you guys. Action August.
There was a subtle hint in what Nick just said. But not so subtle if you know.
Yeah. That was one of my easier hints, I feel like.
So fuck you. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, fuck you. My hints are good. You know who I'm talking to.
Fucker.
I'm pointing at the phone.
Fucker. I don't know who it is. If it's like your mom, I mean, I'm going to feel real
my
bad.
My mom does not listen to this podcast.
Does your mom know this podcast exists?
She does. People have told her.
My
about
mother
it.
Does not know this podcast exists.
Thank God.
Because she'd listen to it.
No, and if I ever met your mother, that would be terrible. The things you have said, I'd be so embarrassed. I've never said anything, but.
Yeah, right.
Are. You say
you things. You told me you would take my mom out to a nice seafood dinner and I never call her again.
This. You are quoting
Anchorman.
Anchorman right now. Really? I'm going to take your mother out on a nice seafood...
on a nice seafood dinner and never call her again. It's David Koechner.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, until next week with Alien. Kwanzaa, dude.